Happy Wednesday to you. It's 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. This is Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Music organizations across West Michigan perform a vital public service in my mind at this time of year. I think it is emotionally and mentally healthy to enjoy a seasonal concert of one kind or another. There are brass, there are choral, like a choral Christmas, which is a sort of a muted segue. You don't get to applause until the end kind of concert. This one, I think there will be plenty of applause throughout, and it is one of the biggest of the year. It's the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's Sounds of the Season concert coming up Friday and Saturday. And here in the studio, I am very tickled to speak to the music director, Julian Querty, about this concert. Welcome back to WMUK.
Thank you so much, Kara, and good morning to you.
Good morning. I hope you will take up that thread of thought that, you know, this time of year, it does help to unify us when we hear music we've known all our lives.
Absolutely. Well, you know, back thousands of years, music has always been used at the most important points of our lives, you know, weddings, in churches, synagogues. And it's around this time of year that we congregate for a different type of experience, which is, you know, to bless our families, to welcome in the new year. And I think music is such a big part of that. I love music at this time of year, all music at this time of year, caroling, brass bands. But of course, what we're offering is a wonderful concert with the Kalamazoo Symphony, the full orchestra on stage at Chenery this weekend for two performances. And it's something that I think really people crave. It speaks to them. You want to be able to find your happy place and to take a few minutes out of your busy, hectic day. And we all know how it can be at the end of the year. We're running around like mad. To sit down and to listen to wonderful music, a lot of things that you recognize, some that you maybe don't. And we're really looking forward to this. They're some of our most popular concerts of the season.
I fully support anyone who, you know, practices meditation to center themselves or finds other ways to feel connected and grow a sense of optimism. But sometimes the old ways work very, very well, as you referred to, music being part of occasion and ceremony and just marking the time of year.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is here.
And we've got a lot of great music on these programs. You know, one thing that I really love so much about the public in Kalamazoo is that they love to sing. And we've done these sing-alongs traditionally in this concert. Well, this year, because of the pandemic, we're asking the audience not to sing out loud during the performance. So what I had to do, it was a challenge, was to program music and carols and holiday classics that were recognizable, that people loved, but were maybe not quite singable so that we don't get anybody jumping in and raising their voice.
Oh, well, I imagine we'll all be wearing our masks anyway. I've heard
Correct.
Of humming concerts.
I've never heard of that. That's great. You should try one.
Well, what an interesting challenge for yourself to write, like, okay, this Christmas carol fantasy needs to move along faster than people can start the next verse.
Yes, and go into all sorts of weird key changes.
Yeah,
so nobody's really confident about what note to start on.
Actually, what's this first piece? This is new to me. Samuel Coleridge Taylor, born 1875.
Yes. Well, Samuel Coleridge Taylor, he was born in England to an English mother and a West African father. And I guess you could say he's one of the first romantic composers from England of African descent. He was supremely talented, and he died at a really young age, I think 37 years old. Elgar was a big champion of his. He was a wonderful, serious composer. He would have had a great, long career in music.
Did he play an instrument?
I believe he was... I believe he was a string player, but I'm trying to, I don't know enough about
his
history.
So he was more regarded for writing than for being like a virtuoso.
He was, yes. Wow. And he wrote a children's opera called, or it was music to a children's play titled A Forest of Wild Thyme. And there is this overture that was created out of music from that piece. It was not orchestrated by Coleridge Taylor himself. There was another man who orchestrated it, but it's a take on two very well known carols. And I believe that you might even have it queued up.
I totally do.
We should let our listeners listen to this. Now, it's going to open our concert.
You can't hear the spelling of Wild Thyme. But you're talking about the fragrant, is it an herb?
Is it an herb? It is, because it's got leaves, right?
Okay. Music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor. We are previewing the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's Sounds of the Season concerts, 7:30 p.m. Friday and 3 p.m. Saturday at Chenery Auditorium. Full details at kalamazoosymphony.com. Music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor, his Christmas Overture, or music actually from an incidental suite, The Forest of Wild Thyme, which was discovered in my case. To me, it's new, and carefully selected as the opening piece by music director Julian Querti. And you'll be conducting this twice this weekend, Friday night and Saturday afternoon. What a great opener.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I really, the first time I heard it, I really loved it. I think it really sets the tone. In these Sounds of the Season concerts, I love to think of them sort of as two parts. The first half, I look for classical pieces that have really been inspired by the holiday season. Trying to find works of all sorts of composers, and not just carols. And then the second half I like to devote to just fun and carols and, you know, lighter things and basically to send everybody out the door with some good cheer and a few tunes in their ears.
You're keenly aware that there will be kids the ages 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping so. And especially since we're giving one of the performances on Saturday afternoon, it's a great concert for families. And, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but it's very likely that we may be visited by a very special somebody who's going to take a little bit of time out of his busy schedule to come and pay us all a visit. So if you have kids, be sure to prepare them that Saturday. They might see somebody.
I'm sure it will be a jolly experience.
Oh, ho, ho.
Okay, so surprises aplenty. You mentioned that sing-alongs are not really a good idea during this period of the pandemic, but there will be voices included in the concert.
Absolutely. We are very lucky to be able to feature a young soprano who will be singing with us on the second half. Her first name is Carly, and she's going to be singing on a performance of a work for film and orchestra. And this is a tradition in the United Kingdom. There's a wonderful children's book author, Raymond Briggs, who has illustrated countless children's books. He has a very iconic style, very beautiful visual style that he uses to illustrate. And there's a film that has been made of one of his books back in the 80s. The book was called The Snowman, and it was a book without any text whatsoever. It was only pictures. And it tells the story of a young boy who builds a snowman, and at night the snowman comes to life, and they go on all sorts of adventures. And in the morning, they come back. The snowman, assumes his position, and the boy goes back to bed. And it's this wonderful, magical fairy tale, and it's been set to music by English composer Howard Blake. And it's a wonderful score that goes along with the film that we'll be performing. Mm. And this will feature our young soprano soloist.
How wonderful. And you say she's young. I mean, under 20, under 15.
Yes, something like that. She's I believe, between 14 and 16.
Wow. Well, good for her. That'll be exciting. The Snowman on screen with the KSO, which is something I've welcomed in recent years, you know, with the KSO providing a live score as we watch a film. It can be a little bit back and forth. I don't know what to look at sometimes, but it's a really great thing to bring in new crowds and new audiences. And
it is, and you know, for me, this will be we do a lot of this playing the soundtrack of films, and we've got E.T. coming up later on in the season.
Wow.
And we've done a lot of great John Williams score, Star Wars trilogy, for instance. But this will be my first time conducting one of these film scores to screen. And it's actually quite challenging because there are certain moments that you really have to line up the music with what's happening on the screen. And you start at the very beginning and then you just play. And so if you get the wrong tempo, even slightly, then after...
It's going to bleed over.
Well, exactly. You know, after 4 bars, you might not notice, but after 60 bars, you might be, you know, a whole half minute out, which is no good. So I spent quite a bit of time practicing, and we have this system of... there are stripes that go across my personal screen, and when the stripe gets to the very end, that means I have to be synchronous.
So I really,
it's my cue. Yeah.
Well, you know, the assistant conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony, Daniel Breyer, has a lot of good experience with this. Have you talked to him about how to, you know, make it a little easier?
Yes, I mean, we've spoken a lot about this in the past. He's quite a pro at this. And
at this point.
Right.
it sure took him a lot. I mean, it would take anybody a lot of practice to both follow a screen, which has no wiggle room, and then, you know, communicate to the orchestra how to stay with you and stay with the screen. And it just... I'm sure you'll pull it off wonderfully.
Well, we've got a few rehearsals to figure that out.
Okay. My guest is Julian Quarty, the music director of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And I want to tell you about the Sound of the Season concerts. There are two at 7:30 Friday and at 3 p.m. Saturday in a beautifully decorated Chenery Auditorium. And details are at kalamazoosymphony.com, where the COVID policy is posted. So please take a look at that. And don't be surprised when you come to the concert and are expected to have your mask on. And is proof of vaccination required?
Also, yes, we are asking proof of vaccination.
Okay. Well, now you know. You can't be shocked when you show up. Let's get back to the program. We started with a Christmas overture. You are going to highlight a Baroque piece that is meant for the nativity season.
That's right. I always feel a strong connection to Baroque music at Christmas time. It's something, especially from Bach, he gives us this in his Christmas oratorios. I feel so connected to this music around this time of year. So there is a wonderful short concerto for three string instruments plus orchestra written by Corelli. And it's basically, it's called the Christmas Concerto or the Concerto Grosso number 8, you know, for the night of Christmas. Yeah. And it's a beautiful little gem. It's about 12 minutes long in a number of short little movements. And it sets the tone for what this concert is all about. There's some very sparkling, fast playing. There's some very, very rich and lush, gorgeous Baroque lines that he weaves.
Right.
It's a great little piece that we haven't played in a while. So we're looking forward to it.
I think it provides a good contrast to the, you know, in-your-face, glitzy, lots of commercial-sounding music that the season also provides, because it's in a quiet key, and it does evoke a little bit of that holy night.
It does, feeling. And there's some mystery, and it sort of ends on a pastoral, and I imagine, you know, the shepherds following the star and coming to the manger, and the way that it's sort of ends very softly and delicately, it makes me feel like, you know, maybe the baby has just gone to sleep. So this concerto sort of puts us in that dream mood and conjures up this amazing picture of that particular night in history.
Well, maybe the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's playing of this will give you images and thoughts and a chance to, again, meditate in a communal setting, safely at Chenery Auditorium with Arcangelo Corelli's Christmas Concerto. Then, actually, the next piece, this tune goes back way before the Baroque era. We don't even know who wrote it.
That's right. This is a medieval tune out of England that we now know by the name of Greensleeves. And it's something that we've come to adopt for the Christmas season, although you're quite right, the origins of this tune don't really have much to do with Christmas. But you know, as we were talking, just as we were listening to the previous piece, I feel that music that's so meaningful, we tend to recast it and we adopt it and we put words to it that mean something to us now. And so Greensleeves is something like that.
Yeah, too good to go out of fashion.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny, you know, this sort of plays on another theme in this program, that this was also taken from an opera written by Ralph Vaughan Williams. And so this has been then recast as his Fantasia on Greensleeves. And it's got a little flute solo in it, and there's the strings, the lush strings. It's gorgeous.
I've been at this job for quite a while, and I did not know this had anything to do with an opera, a stage piece by Vaughan Williams. Well, the Greensleeves Fantasia by Vaughan Williams is remarkable. I think you get to hear more than one melody. You know, you hear the common one, but I think he weaves in other things. And yeah, in 5 minutes, you could get a really complete sense of what one person can do with Greensleeves. Let's hear it now. My guest is Julian Querti, the music director of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and tickets are available now for concerts at 7:30 on Friday and Saturday at 3 o'clock, both in Chenery Auditorium. It's at kalamazoosymphony.com.
Thank you.
Julian, could you tell that was a little on the vintage side?
I love those old recordings. I love the crackle and hiss of the vinyl, and it, you know, it reminds me of sitting in front of the fire, perhaps.
Oh, yes, yes. and those musicians from the past speaking through time marvelous music.
You know, and this was the Halle Orchestra, was it not?
Yes, yes, a British orchestra.
That's right.
Helmed by Sir John Barbaroli.
And, you know, it's very likely that a lot of them probably personally knew Vaughan Williams, and so there's information there without even having to study. They just know the composer, they know the man, and they feel that connection.
Mm. And I am pretty excited about those flute parts. Those are pretty great.
Absolutely. Speaking of flute parts, we've got an arrangement of Jingle Bells on this program that is going to feature our principal flute, Yuki. And it's a solo for flute and orchestra of Jingle Bells.
Excellent.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I can just imagine the possibilities, you know. It's a pretty straightforward tune.
Well, it is, but, you know, it gets dressed up a little bit. And exactly.
Well, you'll have to be there.
Jingling bells is also a theme that we've got on this program. You know, often I look, as I was saying, I look for rare treasures and gems of the classical repertoire that's inspired by Christmas. And I found this set of dances by Mozart. And the title...
He's not obscure.
He's not obscure, but these particular pieces are not very often played. It's a set of dances that he wrote very close to the end of his life. This was in his final months. And it was a set of dances. I believe he wrote it for one of these big Viennese balls that they would get together an enormous orchestra. And by the way, there's this myth that Mozart, you know, you should play it with small orchestras.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's true that he often had his music performed by small orchestras, but that was because he was presenting his own concerts. So he personally
had to hire
every single musician. So, you know, between having, you know, 8 violins or 18 violins, for him, that was quite a lot of money. But he wrote how much he loved huge orchestras. He loved them. And this was one opportunity that he had to use an enormous orchestra was for these balls. Because what they would do is they would get together all of the musicians, all of the court chapels in Vienna. They would put them into this huge ballroom, usually the Redoutensaal in Vienna. And they would have these big balls. And then they would ask all these different composers to write little incidental music that the band could play, basically without rehearsing.
Yeah.
So we have pieces by Mozart, by Haydn, by Beethoven, by Schubert, you know, Hummel. Who's who of Vienna was, they were all writing these sets of dances. And, you know, by and large, they were played and sort of got their way into the catalog and are kind of forgotten. So this is one by Mozart, and the title of the dance is called The Sleigh Ride. And I think there may be a number of dances there, but The Sleigh Ride is the third dance of this set. They may all run together, so it's probably towards the end of it. But what you're going to hear are two wonderful effects. And Mozart loved effects. You know, he was one of the first composers to use the triangle and the cymbals. You know, he was very, very these new technology and new effects.
Yeah, color.
So, colors, exactly. So he uses tuned bells that will play sort of a melody. And there's a very funny instrument that goes along with it called a post horn. So back in the olden days, when the post arrived in your village, the postman on the wagon would have a horn, or the person at the post station would have a horn, and they would play to announce that the post was there. And so as we're nearing, you know, December 25th, and we're all anxiously waiting for our postal deliveries to arrive in time, you know, Mozart knew about this. This was his sort of, you know, signal for the holiday season that, you know, post was going to be arriving, a letter, maybe a package, something like that. So this is,
I think everyone would know.
So we have The Sleigh Ride by Mozart, featuring the bells and the post horn.
Wow. I'm with Julian Querti, who will lead this concert, or both concerts, at 7:30 and 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Details at KalamazooSymphony.com. It's your chance to once again enjoy sounds of the season with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Well, what a pleasant little jingly piece by Wolfgang Mozart. And there will be some jingles on Friday and Saturday as the KSO takes the stage. My guest is Julian Querti, the music director, who put all this various music together. Just to recap, Julian, you said the first half of the concert really focuses on the orchestra and showcasing some really great arrangements and tunes that go both from celebratory to a little more on the contemplative side. Second half, free for all.
That's right. Second half, we break out the drum set.
Fantastic. Right now, the time is 13 minutes or so before 11 o'clock, so we have time to hit on a few more highlights here. One thing I definitely don't want to pass over is A Hanukkah Blessing, which was composed by Julian Querti, who I think is the same person sitting in front of me here.
Correct. This is a piece that I wrote. In fact, I wrote last year during the pandemic. You know, it's funny, Kara, in the Christian tradition, there are so many iconic tunes and melodies that we sing at Christmas time. But as I was doing my research in the Jewish tradition, there are not really so many recognizable, let's say, anthems for Hanukkah. You know, for Passover, we do have you know, some melodies that are very well known amongst the Jewish community and that are sung every year. But for Hanukkah, it's not as clear. So I wanted to write something. First, I wanted to find something to play. And everywhere I looked, there was nothing that I liked. So I decided, well, okay, there must be a niche here. I'm going to write something myself. And I began to do a little research. And I dug up this wonderful treatise by Benedetto Marcello, who was an Italian Baroque composer, and he wrote a wonderful treatise in 1724 on harmony. And what part of this treatise was, he was in Venice at the time, and he explored the Hebrew community in Venice, and he recorded a lot of their liturgical songs.
And writing them down.
Writing them down, exactly, in this manuscript. And it's really interesting because he writes them down, and Hebrew, as you know, you read from right to left, not left to right. And when Marcello notated these pieces, he notates them from right to left. So you have to read the music going the other way. So it presents an even greater puzzle. So
that was respectful of him,
right?
Probably a Catholic, right?
Yes, yes. Absolutely. But you know, it's very interesting to see how much interfaith mingling there was back then in Venice, and he was so interested in music of all kinds. And this is very much kind of an early foreshadowing of ethnomusicology, which has become really very popular in 20th and 21st century,
yeah.
Documenting and exploring the different musical cultures around the world. So Marcello wrote down this melody. As well, there's a later melody that German Jews adopted, but it was based on a chorale by Luther. And it was a chorale melody that Bach himself used in one of his chorales. But German Jews, since about the mid-19th century, have been singing this, and you know the name of the song is "Rock of Ages," Maus Zur. So what I've done is I've taken sort of three important melodies and I've stitched them together. The first one being there's a sung blessing that you would sing at on the night of Hanukkah when you're gathered around to celebrate, and it's talking about the miracle of Hanukkah where the candles the candle in the temple, which was not supposed to burn because they had no more oil, in fact, burned for 8 nights because it was a miracle, an act of God. So the typical Jewish family whoever's leading the Shabbat will sing this melody, and so this is the opening part of the piece is just in a solo clarinet this melody
as close to the voices you
exactly
can get.
Over a bed of strings and a harp sort of plucking along. It's supposed to evoke an ancient type of music and an ancient melody.
Well, it is based on chant. You know?
It is.
It's
passed on through generations. It's the oral tradition. It was never really notated until much, much later. So we start with this, and then I bring in the Italian Baroque Benedetto Marcello, where I've tried to sort of cast it in a Baroque flavor. And then the third part is the Luther type chorale, which is the most known to modern Jews as a Passover. Sorry, excuse me, Hanukkah song. I keep thinking Passover. Yeah.
Are you working on a Passover work?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I've been thinking about that lately.
Yeah.
So probably.
Well, congratulations on bringing together all these melodies in a work called A Hanukkah Blessing. It had its debut last year, and we'll hear it again this year.
Well. Yes and no. We recorded it last year for our virtual Sounds of the Season, but in that case, every musician was playing at home with a click track. So this will actually be the very first time it's being performed with the full orchestra live and especially in front of an audience.
That's wonderful. I love the story behind this work, A Hanukkah Blessing by Julian Quercy, my guest today here on Classical WMUK. Just a few minutes left in this hour. And one of the pieces you thought would be good to highlight is a song from The Snowman, which you said was, just to recap, is a very popular since the 80s adaptation of a children's book for film with no speaking, no text, just images of a snowman and the adventures a little boy goes on with the snowman. And Howard Blake wrote the music. I don't know anything about Howard Blake. I'm assuming he was a TV or film.
A very important film and TV composer. He wrote some serious music as well. I mean, as we would say, serious music. But his main compositional output is for the screen. But he's got a great feeling for music, and he writes wonderfully. And so in the film, I don't want to give too much away, but what happens is the snowman takes the boy and they start to run through these snowy fields, and this is all animated, and then they start to take off, and then they start to fly over the English countryside, and you see the landscape, and you see the animals running in the fields, and it's spectacular. And so this song accompanies this point of the film.
We will hear a very special guest on Friday and Saturday, a young woman who is a soprano of note these days. The recording that I accessed here, it features a boy soprano named Kai Thomas in the English tradition. Let's hear Walking in the Air.
I'm holding very tight.
What a lovely song, and one I haven't heard before. It's from The Snowman by Howard Blake, and it was specially picked out by my guest, Julian Quarty. And the special guest with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, I'm so excited about this. She comes from Kalamazoo.
She does. A young soprano, Carly Rose Koch.
Well, soprano, she's the theater, a young theater diva here, I would say, is youngest daughter of Jeremy and Deneen Koch, and associated with Farmers Alley Theater. So what a special, special moment that will be for her, two of them, Friday night and Saturday afternoon. It's been wonderful to hold you hostage here this entire hour, Julian. I know you need to get off to other activities and preparations and prepare these concerts in rehearsal. Thank you so much for joining me here.
Kara, it's always my pleasure. And have a happy holidays.
I will. Thank you. The concerts can be discovered and tickets can be purchased at KalamazooSymphony.com. The Sounds of the Season concert, 7:30 Friday and 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon at Chenery Auditorium.